Live across this big brown flat mysterious crazy country, Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we'll pop round to Michael Hutchins' place for a cuppa, or as Mick calls it, the den. On the eve of the grand finals, we've got the last word on Plugger's groin, and we'll be roping in you, the listeners, to preview the halftime entertainment. And just when you thought the tank was empty, we've got some more Michael Jackson talk. We'll wind up another week of Radio Gladiators. We've got Sticky Beaks. We'll present the Fumio, and we'll welcome our live guest who's brought his guitar and drummer in with him. Who knows what's going on there? Well, we'll find out. It's Chris, Isaac, and Friend. All coming up on the program, we're Foolish Behaviour is the big winner, Martin Malloy. That's Southern Suns, always and ever. Good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to the final Martin Malloy for the week with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man whose house was raided this morning by police. They found a massive quantity of illegal substances, which luckily for him were all contained inside house guest Jason Donovan, Mick Malloy.
Phew, it was a close one, Tone. It was a close one.
All right, well, have you noticed? Have you checked the calendar? It's Friday. There's a weekend on the way. We've got totally chihuahua, whatever that means, here at Martin Malloy. And as always, final show for the week, so it's time to pitch the prestigious Fumio Trophy towards the noggin of the individual or individuals whose recent endeavours have been cause for the most running off at the mouth here in the Martin Malloy news shed. The Fumio, this week brought to you by our fun new board game, Hungry Hungry Daddos. Hours of fun for the kids as they force Cameron, Andrew, Lockie and the other one to consume their own body weights in chicken torpedoes. Another utterly pointless distraction from the team at Martin Malloy Toys. Mick, who are the lucky nominees?
The Sydney 2000 Olympic logo, or as we like to call it, the official Olympic doodle. The design features a couple of squiggles, two boomerang-shaped objects and a dot, which incidentally is exactly the same spelling as Prince's new name.
Oh, he'll be suing him over that.
Whoopsie.
What about Bindi Paxton of the infamous Paxton family, who's accepted a job posing for next month's Playboy centerfold because, well, obviously she just didn't have a problem with the uniform.
Teddy from Murder One. Yes, the big, baldy, nuggety scone of Teddy has provided as much material as anything else on this week's show. And fans of Teddy's noggin can see it now on the big screen where it's currently starring as the Phantom Skull Cave.
Yeah, I said to Mick this afternoon, there's nothing more to be said about Teddy.
And I lied and said there was.
Okay. What about the Grim Reaper, whose controversial Physical ad in which he bursts into an average Australian home and takes to a family with a baseball bat was pulled after hundreds of complaints? The agency responsible predicts there will be no such complaints about the new version in which the family are shown to be dancing the Macarena moments before the Reaper's arrival.
But no, the Fumio goes to the Sydney Swans. Yes, the Sydney Swans, who are not allowed to have sex the night before the big game. Fortunately, they are allowed to have sex before they go to court. Otherwise, none of them would be getting nothing.
I see. And Mick, if the Swans win tomorrow, I understand this is the song they'll be singing.
Watching use it now to play the banjo bit.
Nicely done, Plugger. Hands free. Give him a round.
Lift that noble lunchbox high. Shake down the shorts and watch the tackle fly.
There is no need for that. That's disgusting.
That's not funny, Michael. That's not impressing anybody. Madonna with Open Your Heart here at Martin Malloy, where that weekend, I can just almost touch it, man.
Oh, it's that close.
And, you know, business isn't over yet, I'm afraid. It's time for a big, fat edition of Celebrities in the Poo. Thanks very much, Gracie. That's the new theme for the segment. And a beautiful bit of work.
We're going to have to get a mute for your butt.
You know, just get that titty going to wah, wah, wah.
Yes, we'll run a pitch test on that after the program. But listen to this, Mickey. Kelsey Grammer, star of TV's Frasier, has been arrested for drink driving, and his Emmy-winning TV show has been put on hold for at least a month. Mm. After Grammer rolled his $84,000 Dodge Viper outside his home in Los Angeles. Grammer is known as something of an impressionist, and I tell you what, that's the best Bobby Brown I've ever seen. With previous arrests for drink driving and cocaine possession, this time Kelsey could be headed for the Robert Downey Jr. suite at the California State Pen, which will give him a chance to do a bit of research for the character he does on The Simpsons, Sideshow Bob. That's right. Him, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's Sideshow Bob, the jailed and embittered ex-TV personality. Do you suppose Kelsey will steal a nuclear device and threaten to detonate it unless production of his old TV show is shut down altogether like Sideshow Bob did? Because they're saying they might continue the series Frasier without him.
Right.
And may even get someone else in to play the title role. Mm. Gee, who would they get? Teddy from Murder One? He's available now. I'm sorry, Niles. The dog has to go. I have no further statements.
It could work.
I'd like to see it. And another celebrity, experiencing a bit of poo at the moment is TV's Lois Lane, Terry Hatcher. Listen to this story from this week's New Idea. Lois Lane curse haunts Terry. Lois and Clark star Terry Hatcher has been waking up in the middle of the night because of horrific nightmares which won't go away. Mm. Hatcher has been turning up on set looking distraught and with huge bags under her eyes. Oh, they always have to get in a reference to her breasts, don't they? Just leave her alone, for God's sake. In Terry's recurring dream, she wakes up in a suburban backyard and emerges from a woodpile, having cut her own hair with a rock and with several teeth missing. An eerie echo of the real-life incident involving former big-screen Lois Margot Kidder earlier this year. Oh, that's no good. But, Mick, the good news is for you. Now, whenever this happens to you, you can just say it's the Lois Lane curse. How many times have I had to drive out somewhere to pick you up from behind a wood pile with a couple of teeth missing and your hair cut with a rock?
It's not my fault, Tone. It's the Lois Lane curse.
Did you ever play Lois Lane?
No, I did once, but it wasn't very successful. But it was on a footy show.
Oh, okay. Well, you can still say it's the Lois Lane curse. That's your get-out-of-jail card from now
on. All right, and I'll be using it, buddy.
Any other celebrities in the poo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, T. Martin, we've got to talk Hutcho. Michael Hutchins, poor man, he's out in Australia having a holiday, wakes up to find his house, or at least, is it his house? Are they admitting it's his house? At one stage it was just a house in his Chelsea Street, but we think it's his house. It was raided in the morning yesterday for drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Tone, that's what you get, really, isn't it? For calling your daughter Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily. You know, something's got to be up. You're asking for trouble. He's only got himself to blame.
Would that be the only evidence the cops would have needed to bust down the front door?
That was the lead. They saw the birth notice. They were down at headquarters and the alarm bell started ringing in the room. We got one.
Hadn't been off since Fifi Trixabelle was announced.
There you go. Well, when I first heard they'd found opium in the house, I thought they'd discovered another one of Paulie Yates' daughters. Well, it could be. Fifi, Trixie, Belle, Peaches, Pixie and Opium. Good work, isn't it?
Oh, we've locked Opium in the spare room. Where's the next flight to London?
Let her out. They also found some pornographic pictures of the couple on the job.
Now, gee, that's a long name for a kitty.
We found pornographic pictures of the couple on the job. She looks like she's been abused. Needs a feed. But now, Tone, the pornographic pictures of the couple, we're talking Paulie Yates and Michael Hutchins. Now, Tone, that's something I reckon even hardened detectives would classify as a grisly discovery. There'd be a cop on the doorstep going, oh, I've been a detective for 20 years. I saw the House of Horrors, but I've never seen anything as horrible as this. It's pretty poor form, isn't it? They're out here in Australia. Their house has been gone through, and I mean, you know, apart from the drugs, if they find pictures like that, It's nobody's business, surely. Is that illegal?
I don't think it is.
Is that illegal? You don't keep your own family snaps around the house? I wouldn't have thought so. You know what I did when I heard that news?
What?
Scarf at home to hide the Alka-Seltzers and my aerobics on style poster. No! Imagine if I was raided. The press would have a field day with it. My name would be Mud. Oh, no. My video of the women's gymnastics from Atlanta.
Oh, no.
I've left it out.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to leave early, Tone. Personally, you know what I'd be doing if I was Michael Hutchins?
What's that?
Blaming Bob Geldof. They're in the house when I got there, Your Honor. They're in the drop drawer beside the bed, next to a big bag of suspicious-looking beard clippings. Look into those if you really want to blow your head off. Personally, I think Michael Hutchins comes out of this looking pretty good. Because from what I've heard, out of all those porno shots retrieved by the coppers, only in one of them is he attempting to punch the photographer.
Radio. That's I'll Be There For You by the Rembrandts here at Martin Malloy.
Okay, that's Chris Isaak with Only the Lonely. This is The Late Shift, and I'm Carl Van Kyle, keeping you company right through till 2 a.m. here at Bilo. Arnott's Assorted Creams, down to a low, low $2.99. Check them out, shoppers. You'll find them in aisle 3. Hey, what's happening down in aisle 16? Hortico Potting Mix, a rich organic medium providing excellent drainage and moisture retention. Now just a crazy $2.97, say 52 cents. You got me. What about Jam Rolettes from Top Taste? Check this, just $1.99, happening. And hey, how about pork riblets? Would your good buddy Carl steer you wrong, shoppers? Snap them up for just $3.28. All right. Time for traffic, and there's a three-trolley snarl down in Fruit and Veg. If you're heading for the deli, take a shortcut through confectionery. That's my advice to you. Bit of a baby food spill in aisle 4. That's on the move. Steer clear. And rogue spaghetti hoops are making the going pretty funky down in 14. Give it a wide one. Chopper chops. Grab some on your way out. Down to just 10 cents each. Go mad. Buy 4. And hey, this just through from the front office. Price check. Price check. Wonder Soft toilet tissue with that unique two-ply quality. Six-pack, aisle 4, move it if you could, Brendan. And hey, I've just had a request, all right. Speak up. Okay, happening. I'll be back after this. It's one of the classics. Enjoy.
Thanks very much, Eric Clapton. Change the world here at Martin Malloy. We're in the next hour. Sticky Beaks, it's your chance to, well, put yourself in the running for a trip to Germany. No other program is offering you that at this stage.
Get your butt castle side.
All right, that's in the next hour. We'll also have Radio Gladiators very soon. Is the segment infected with footy fever today?
I think it might be.
All right. And what about Chris Isaak? He's dropping by with his guitar in the next hour for a bit of a talk and a bit of a sing. He's out here. Well, he's got a new album out, and he's also co-hosting the ARIA Awards, I think with Harry Connick Jr.
There you go.
On Monday night, and we're expected to turn up to that, Mickey.
I think so. Well, it's music's night of nights. We should be there.
Exactly. After all our fine efforts on today's program with that plugger song.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see why we should be kept out of that shindig. Have you pressed your good tracksuit pants yet, Mickey?
Oh, yeah. I'm going top shelf, Tone.
I don't think we've ever been to a proper highfalutin awards show, have we?
No.
We never went to... I said the other day we went to the Logies, and then I remembered we didn't. We sent Pete Smith along instead.
That's correct.
Because we were just too embarrassed to be seen in the monkey suits coming through the front door with Darren Hinch.
This is different, though. This is music. It's hip. It's happening. It's now. It's young. It's you and me, buddy.
All right. And the Brown album is nominated for 2 awards, and we couldn't be prouder. And we'll be expected to, if we win and we get to do a speech, we'll be expected to drop a bombshell. You know, we'll be expected to say something ill-advised, something awkward.
I'm going to Sally Field.
Are you?
Now I know you love me.
Of course, we haven't got there yet. There's pretty stiff competition in those categories. I tell you what we should do if we do win and we have to say something.
Yep.
Let's reveal the name of the new Martin Malloy album. Because we haven't told anyone yet, have we?
For good reason.
Can we say it that early in the evening? What time's it going out? I know a lot of people are wondering about the new record, and we have actually been working on it pretty much every available moment of our spare time in the evenings and weekends. Our girlfriends haven't seen us for about 4 months. I have to produce two forms of identification to get into the house. No one recognises me at home. And full details of the album coming up soon. But, Mickey, I know we've probably had our fill of Michael Jackson news, not only this week but this year. What have you got?
Well, sorry, Tone, it's not me, it's him. It just keeps coming. If he keeps lobbing them up, we're going to keep batting them down.
I would have thought the tank was empty.
If he wants to put a stop to it, he can. He can pull up his pants and start flying right. But as long as he continues to get around as a total nutter, I'm sorry, we'll continue to draw attention to it. Now, listen to this. He's on his way to Australia, and tour organisers had better watch out because the wacky freakster is already lodging a few curious backstage requests. Listen to this. To keep the star's spirits up between shows, his hotel rooms have to be filled with balloons and flowers.
Really?
Yeah. Imagine walking into Jacko's hotel room just in time to find him with his beak stuffed into a bunch of flowers. It looked like he was trying to extract some pollen. What would he want with flowers? He wouldn't be able to smell them without giving them a good prune. In fact, I wonder if you asked him if he'd come round and do your garden. Hey, Michael, come over here and give this hedge a bit of a sniff, would you? Oh, hey, easy, that's enough. Leave some green. His nose would dackle over a pair of secateurs, Tone. You could drag him round the garden by the legs and give your garden a good hoe. Once up and down the backyard, and hey, presto, there's your veggie patch.
He's a living lawn edger.
There you go. And what about the balloons? That's just asking for trouble, isn't it? How long would they last? Michael's coming home after the concert, the door had opened, and his manager had just been standing there yelling, surprise, and I'm bugging it up. I'm completely bugging it up.
We're still going to the Arias, are we? They still want us there?
I can't get to the end of this now. We're going to have to go. I'm aborted. I'm aborting.
You know what
this is? Martin Malloy. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free. Martin Malloy.
Michael had come home after the concert, opened the door, and his manager yelled surprised and released a bunch of balloons from the ceiling. All you'd hear is, Michael, quickly, cover your nose!
Gee, it's a pity an ad break just had to come in there and spoil that, wasn't it?
What happened?
I don't know. Out of nowhere, an ad break.
We would have worked it out. We were on the way. We were about to dissect it, go through it moment by moment, let the people in on a few secrets as to how the show works. We would have workshopped it. We would have got there. But no!
The satellite has struck again.
And
you know
what?
I'm blaming the Lois Lane curse. I think you're afflicted with the Lois Lane curse,
it's
Mickey.
It's dogging me, Tone.
All right. Well, let's move on to something which is always much more organised, shall we?
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Tell us about this grand final business. Is it over yet, Mickey? I haven't really been following it. Have they had the games?
It's the big weekend coming up as we speak. Saturday, Sunday, both games. It's all on the line.
Have we heard about the halftime entertainment at this stage? Because what did we have last year? I know the Sydney grand final was afflicted with a giant collapsing television.
Correct.
We've talked about that before. Mm. An enormous telly came out and fell to pieces before our eyes, providing a fantastic preview of all the wonderful things you'll be able to see on pay television.
Now, a grim forewarning of things to come.
Now, tell us, what did they have last year at the AFL Grand Final?
To tell you the truth, I can't remember. I'm sure it would have involved a whole bunch of kiddies spelling out something, carrying cards, spelling out something. Lots of balloons. They're always letting the balloons go.
I remember possibly 3 or 4 years ago, was it the AFL Grand Final where they got the little golf carts? the little mini cars.
Correct.
And they stacked each one with two celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think one of them had Angry Anderson and
yep.
Fighting Harada.
That's right.
And Angry was belting out Bound for Glory, fighting. He was just sitting there not knowing where he was, still looking a little bit punch drunk as he circulated.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the cars went along, the celebrities got more and more obscure. And, you know, you were down the end in Grant Dodwell country. You go, who's that meant to be? I can't recall.
And do you remember, if I remember correctly, I think Grant Dodwell actually jumped out of his car in the nude claiming to be covered in imaginary rats.
Yeah.
Is that the story?
Oh, I think that
how it went?
Well, today we're saying, what are they going to turn on this year? What do you want to see by way of half time entertainment at either the AFL Grand Final tomorrow or the League Grand Final on Sunday. Now, Mickey, do you have any bold visions for halftime?
No, I don't. I don't know. What do you want to see?
Rope twirling?
Rope twirling, yeah, I'd go with that. What about a game of British Bulldogs between, say, the Wilderness Koalas? Bears. Would that be a spectacle of some note?
Just buckets of change going everywhere.
Buckets of change.
What about Paul Keating? We haven't cited him for a while. What about if he came out and did a bit of trampoline work?
Mm-hmm.
Just a bit of a tramp demonstration, bouncing up and down, proving the theory once and for all. What about thousands of kiddies reenacting the raid on Michael Hutchins and Paulie Yates' place? Could it work?
It could work.
I think we need much better suggestions than this. What about a giant screen, or maybe that thing that the players run through, and they could just project all the bits of the Hunchback of Notre Dame that have been cut out for Australia. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Apparently there's some blue bits in the Disney cartoon Hunchback of Notre Dame. They've had to go the chop. At least three scenes have been cut out because of possibly offending the kiddies.
Well,
let's see them. Let's see them at halftime.
Put them on.
Let's see some of the blue Disney stuff.
Let's get some skin flick action going with the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
All right, we want to hear top ideas for halftime entertainment at either of the grand finals. We don't care. Call us with your suggestions, and have we got a prize? Yes, indeed. As we step into the prize lounge, I can see a big silver platter with $500 on it and a massive box o' soothers. And both those things could be yours courtesy of our extremely good friends at Soothers, the inventor of that ingenious lozenge, the soother. Call us now if you want $500. Call us with your halftime entertainment suggestions on 1-800-657-657.
Martin Malloy. I'd phone up and complain on the new SAFM.
This is Martin Malloy, and we're cobbling together Radio Gladiators. That was Savage Garden with I Want You. And today, our topic is simply grand final halftime entertainment, be it the league, be it the AFL. We're looking for ideas, innovative ideas, which we'll all be cheering come halftime.
Mm-hmm.
We want an idea that makes people go, get rid of this footy.
Yep.
We want to see what's in store when the footy stops.
Yep.
Who have we got, Mickey?
We've got Greg on the line. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you going, all right?
Yeah, can't complain. All right, what do you got for us?
Well, I want to see Baby John and Tony Barber going 12 rounds on a real large Wheel of Fortune wheel.
So they're down to the boxing shorts, laying into each other while the big wheel turns.
Yeah, just see who can be bankrupt.
Adriana holding up the numbers.
Yep.
All right, that could work.
I like it a lot.
Fight of the century, be a lot of support for that idea. Thanks very much, Greg. Now we've got Patrick with a winning suggestion. What is it, Patrick?
Yeah, g'day. Since it's New South Wales versus Victoria grand final in the AFL,
yes.
I was wondering if we could have Bob Carr and Jeff Kennett in those inflatable sumo wrestler suits going hammer and tongs in the middle of MCG.
Just taking to each other as well. And maybe would Bob Carr be allowed to use, say, a hardcover novel?
Yeah, why not?
You just have them running from opposite goal squares.
Yeah, I guess so.
Towards each other in the middle of the ground.
Yeah, and Jeff could have the home crowd advantage, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not many like him, I guess.
But whereabouts are you calling us from, Patrick?
New South Wales, Sydney, Bankstown.
All right, so you're not going to be privy to a fantastic entertainment experience going out, at least in southern states, on Monday night in Melbourne, I think, and Tasmania, possibly Perth, and South Australia. Premier Kennett hosting in Melbourne tonight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Has it been confirmed?
I think it was in the paper this morning. And, you know, if anything's going to boot that show national, it's going to be the Kennett hosting. So I'm going to be tuning in for that. I'm not sure if he's wearing the inflatable sumo suit. Thanks, Patrick.
Okay.
Now we've got Leslie. You there, Leslie?
I'm here.
What do you want to see at halftime?
Oh, I think lovely Warwick Capa and his beautiful wife running around the MCG doing a lap, and everybody on the way in gets an egg each to egg them.
Just egging the cappers.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be great.
How long does that halftime go, Mickey?
Oh, not long enough.
Give them 2 eggs each.
2 eggs each. You'd have people who'd just be bringing in their own. You'd have people who'd come in with a couple of dozen double yokers.
No, I think there'd have to be a 2 egg limit. I think we'd have to enforce that strictly. All right, that's a beautiful image. Mm. Thanks very much, Leslie. Peter is next. Peter, you got an idea?
Yep. I reckon they should bar all children from the football game and get bindi packs and then jump out of a large cake dripping so people really know it's her body in the Playboy magazine and not someone else's body with her head pinned to it.
Because it's important we get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't heard a whisper that she's going to be using a body double, have you, Peter?
No, I just suspect it because she doesn't work.
Oh, OK. I see. All right, thanks, Peter. Now we've got Debbie. Debbie, what do you want to see at halftime?
I think they should reconstruct the balcony seat from Romeo and Juliet with the ex-Fitzroy football players.
Oh, right.
Doing their own unique style of balcony work.
Definitely.
Oh, I see. Very nice. I wasn't
ready. Run for cover!
All right. And would they have to have a swimming pool down below? Perhaps they could have a target.
Yeah.
And so they could just go the target. Whoever got closest, man of the match.
I like it a lot.
All right. Thanks very much, Debbie. And see, I didn't quite...
There, you get it now, aren't you?
I'm just a bit slow today. Have we got Travis? Are you there, Travis?
Yes, I am.
You've got an idea?
Yes, I think seeing as the AFL centennial year at the MCG tomorrow, they should get all the entertainers that have lasted 100 years, get them all together, get all the singers, even get the streakers out of the 70s all up there in the centre of the oval and get Boris Yeltsin to lead them off in a dance routine.
Oh, OK. You know what I like about that? There's one bit of that idea I think is fantastic. Past streakers. We have past players.
That's right.
Get the past streakers back and let them just charge through. We can all cheer. We can all recall their fantastic performances of yesteryear.
And you won't even have to be told what year. You'll be able to tell just by looking at their bodies. yes, 1946. There you are.
Well, they're all beauties. I don't know. Which one are we going for?
I'm going for the Kappas being egged within an inch of their life on grand final day. It's the only appropriate thing to do.
All right, Leslie.
So that's Leslie.
Jeez, well, you're overjoyed.
I sure am.
Gee, you've got $500, and what better way to win it, I say, Leslie?
Oh, yeah, I say that. Then I need tickets to go and egg them.
And as they're going round and being egged, maybe we could combine a bit of balcony work from the Fitzroy footballers into this one too.
That's a beautiful suggestion.
Guys.
Very poetic, very picturesque. Thanks, Leslie. You've also got a big box of soothers.
Oh, yeah, they're lovely.
All right, they're taking care of the segment for us this week. And thanks for taking part, everybody. And, I hope the halftime entertainment at both the grand finals lives up to the standards we've set here today. And whatever happens, I think eggs are going to be the big winner on the day. And we'll be back in the next hour with, well, a bloke who likes a croon, one Chris Isaac.
This is Martin Malloy.
Do you really think these boys don't know the difference between right and wrong? That's the legal definition of insanity in the state, and no team of psychiatrists is going to change it.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy's Sticky Beaks, our controversial new sex infotainment show, and next up, Chris Isaac joins us, all thanks to, well, I think you know, it's Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle. That's the one with the 20% extra free.
Well, I know that's Collective Soul here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour, and let's bring in somebody now who likes a croon. This bloke, he's been belting out lilting, sultry tunes for quite some time now. He's out here to co-host the ARIA Awards Monday night and to drop off a few copies of his new album, which is called, well, I think we're going to have to ask him to pronounce it properly. He's here now, and he's brought his own guest with him. It's Chris Isaac! Chris, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us on here and say hey to my drummer.
Hey. That's me.
That's your drummer saying hey to us.
Kenny Dale Johnson, drummer and attorney.
Pleased to meet you, sir. Yeah, and you don't go anywhere without your drummer, Chris?
I don't go anywhere without Kenny because I figure it's always worth bringing talent.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's five.
And you don't go anywhere without that guitar. Tell us the history of that particular instrument, Chris.
This guitar goes way back. This is to a real good era of guitars. I'd say around 87.
Yes, historically significant. I think that was the Mr. years, I think. Yeah, great period for music.
Chris looks at his guitars like a bottle of wine. I'll have the 87, thank you.
And no more of this old wine. Bring us some new wine, okay?
Chris, tell us about this new record of yours. It's called The Baja Sessions. Have I pronounced that correctly?
Baja.
No, well, there you go.
You were very close.
Yes, I was closer to Bajas, I think, than Baja. Where
as, long
is...
as long as nobody else knows how to pronounce it, you're okay.
Tell us about Baja. What's the story? Why would you want to go there?
Baja, California is in Mexico, number one.
Okay.
It's all like desert and cactus, and there's nothing out there. Mm. The only people that go there that I can think of are surfers. And maybe some kind of people, like gurus or something like that, right? You know, I went out there to find myself, and I brought like a crystal, and it was really beautiful. For like 2 weeks, I was stranded in the desert, and you know, I'm on dialysis now. I don't have any water.
So what was your primary reason for being down there, surfing or cutting a record?
I was really working hard down there.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on the record almost every day. I did a little surfing, maybe, you know.
Yes, you can see the grueling sessions on the cover of the album, Chris. There you are, leaning against the surfboard, recording track one.
You know, I didn't turn in the art until I got all the money back from the record company for the session. I said, because they kept saying, now, why do you have to go down to Baja? Can't you just... I said, well, you know, I really need to be down there to get the sound, the feel of this area. It's a kind of a tropical romantic album. Mm. And they said, well, couldn't you do that in San Francisco a lot cheaper? And I said, yes, but... I really need to be down there, you know. It's going to be all working days down there. Don't worry. So afterwards, I turn in the artwork, and I haven't heard back from them.
Turn in the artwork. It sounds like you just sent them a couple of postcards, which have slapped into shape.
Having a wonderful time. I'm really working night and day on everything. Can you send a little more money and some surf wax?
Now, you describe the album, or at least possibly your record company describes it as...
Let me guess what the record company says. Hit after hit. Remember Wicked Game? Got that.
Wow.
A whole bunch of that.
Wait till you see his hair on the cover of this one.
Oh, he's a good-looking kid.
No, it's described here as a record for people who don't have time to take a vacation.
Legally are not allowed to leave the house.
That's right. And I must admit, I had the record on at home. I looked down, and all of a sudden I had a little drink with an umbrella sticking out of it in my hand.
We had those drinks when we were in Mexico. I drank like four of them.
Well, I read somewhere in the literature here, Chris, that you didn't like a drink.
There wasn't alcohol in there.
Oh! Okay.
Just little umbrellas.
Okay, that's okay.
No, it's like they make...
The only danger there is it might have your eye out, you but otherwise it's very safe.
You can put booze in it, but it's like you can have a pina colada, or what is it, a virgin chichi or something they call it. They always have some kind of wimpy sound of name. The bad thing is there's never a rough sound of name. Hey, give me a Boilermaker. What'll you have, Mr. Isaac?
I'll have a peach to fizz. Thanks.
Well, and a big glass of bits of wrought iron.
Chris, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't take drugs, you don't drink coffee, you don't eat junk food. Give us a vice. Any vice.
Setting fire to large public buildings.
All right. Now we're talking turkey. All right.
I do try to warn people a little in advance.
This baby's ready to go. It's a tinderbox.
Well, there's an exclusive for us. Now, Chris, how did you go about choosing tracks for the album? You've done a few covers. You've covered a man who people always compare you to, Mr. Roy Orbison. You only have to hear the first couple of bars of that dum 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 dumby doo wah. And it's stuck in the head for about a year with me.
You sing the dum dum doo wah, let's hear you.
Me?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Just whenever you're ready, buddy, let it fly.
Dum 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 dumby doo wah. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa.
It's that mysterious third octave you have, Tone, which really sets you apart from the rest.
I'm working with the three tenors.
I don't know why we never really sold a lot of that record. I had my brother-in-law singing on there, and it just didn't work out for us.
Let's hear some Chris Isaak. Get out your drinks with the umbrellas in, and let's have a track now here on Martin Malloy.
Future looks.
There you go. That's Chris Isaak playing live here at Martin Malloy with Kenny Dale Johnson, providing a bit of percussion using only...
I think he's found around the house an old mayonnaise jar. He's got there.
Now, Chris, in addition to coming out here and just making us all feel like going surfing, you're also here to, present at the ARIA Awards. What do you know about the ARIAs?
Not a damn thing.
Nothing. Now, watch out, because those awards are bloody sharp.
Yes.
They're the sharpest awards.
Let me ask you this.
Doing the rounds.
Now, I've done American awards thing. Let me ask you this, just seriously. Is this the same kind of thing, like, they're going to have me come up, a bunch of people read off a teleprompter, then they're good-looking women with cleavage and sequins, a bunch of guys in tuxedos, a bunch of bands that you go, are they still alive? And then we read off a teleprompter, and I'm saying stuff that somebody else wrote for me, and it's stuff like... music not only is entertainment, music can also be something used to heal.
And it's usually a lot simpler than that. It's usually music. What is it? Let's find out now.
Yeah, right. And God, you've written for these things.
And have you hosted anything before, Chris?
Last thing I hosted was a fashion show. Now, who are the models on that?
Naomi Campbell.
Naomi Campbell. Helena Christensen.
I just call her Helena.
Who's that little one that...
Oh, Kate Moss.
Kate Moss. The star.
That must have been hard yards for
I offered Kate a sandwich.
You're looking for trouble, aren't you?
You trying to kill her?
Kate, I got a sandwich in my room. Come on in there. Really, go ahead. It's all yours, baby.
Get a come up to my place for a sandwich.
It was hilarious. You know, we were on there with Filter, you know. You know the band Filter, right?
I'm nodding like I don't.
This band is kind of rough and tumble, right?
Yeah.
Young guys, and they're pretty rough and tumble. So they're doing what they had on this thing was these models would do like a catwalk around the band while it played. Well, the band, they weren't real keen on that idea. It was like, we're this alternative kind of, you know, heavy, loud band. And these, we're going to have models in front of us? Like, we don't dig it. So... they're playing, and the singer, who I love, man, he's a wild man.
Richard
is he's in the front singing, and Naomi Campbell goes walking by, and, you know, she's doing the model walk where she doesn't look at anybody, and she kind of looks pissed off and her nose up in the air. And she walks by Richard. He's got a bottle of water, and he just, like, drenches her. and then she looks for, like, a second like she's going to just, like, fly off the handle and tackle him. And then she pulls it together, and she does her walk around the catwalk, and she goes back. And we go back in the dressing room, and the guys are all hiding in their dressing room. And she's outside going, open that door! Nobody throws water on Naomi! Open the door!
Third person on a Naomi, Kim.
She said that.
Yeah. Well, you'll be looking for Wild X. Have we got any Wild X? Have you heard of the Wiggles, Chris? They're a pretty wild band we've got here.
That was something you got from bad drinking. I've been drinking the bad hooch, and I kind of got the wiggles.
You're pretty much on the money there, Chris. And all the best of luck to you. When is it? It's on Monday night.
I think.
Hey, you'll see us there. We're actually nominated, by the way, Chris.
You are? Be,
we did a little album called The Brown Album. I don't know if you've got a copy.
Was this a comedy album?
That's for others to decide, Chris.
You want to make sure you're open in any category. Oh, it was ethnic folk songs, actually.
Yeah, we don't want to be put in a box with those fart jokes that we do.
When we get there, you know, it's like, I'll be handing out awards. Maybe just, you know, I'll throw one your way.
All right. You be careful. It is the sharpest and deadliest of all accolades.
And the winner for Best Rock Album of the Year is The Brown Album.
Oh, if you could. Yes, please.
And people go, wait a minute, that's not even nominated. And I go, by write-in vote.
Once you've said it, it's too late. All right, well, thanks for talking to us today, Chris.
Thanks very much for having us.
And thanks very much, Kenny, as well.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And cheers. You take all your drums out of here. All right. I want to find these brushes here tonight.
Stay tuned for more of The Brown Album.
Rock, rock, rockin' the brown. Rock, rock, rockin' the brown.
That's Mariah Carey on about her dream lover here at Martin Malloy. Thanks very much to Chris Isaac and Kenny. His drummer, his percussionist who follows him everywhere and accompanies, provides a backing for all of Chris's day-to-day activities.
He used to stalk Chris.
Did he?
And then Chris finally turned around and gave him a drum. So if you're going to hang about, at least play this.
Make yourself useful. And Chris, of course, will be at the Arias on Monday night. And we haven't mentioned this so far. Our program, bit of a change of format. Monday, we're going to be doing the show on location from the Aria Awards. They won't be going on round us. We'll be there just before.
Correct.
And we'll be just checking out what's going on, seeing who's popping in, see if anyone's, you know, any police officers are arriving for Mr. Hutchins. We're just checking out the goings and the comings.
We'll be getting into the swing of things. We'll be doing the show in leather pants.
Yes.
I think that'll be the first time we've done it. Oh, I hadn't told you about that.
Okay.
You'll enjoy that.
And it'll just be a revolving lazy Susan of ARIA-related guests on the program on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And we will still, however, be playing Radio Gladiators.
Good.
And we'll still be doing this.
It's time to invade the privacy of fellow Australians as we play Sticky Beaks.
Here's how it works. We need two complete strangers to call us here at Martin Malloy. During the break, Mick and Tony will pry into their personal lives and extract the information they need to pit our two beaks against each other. Not the girl you think you are. If you're our winning sticky beak, you'll bag the entire Crowded House CD back catalogue. And you'll go into the draw for 1 week in your very own dream house, a castle in Germany, where you'll be presented with the 1 millionth copy of Crowded House's recurring dream and be packed off to the concert of your choice. All thanks to Arc Music TV, only on Optus Vision. You know, just this afternoon, I was helping hose out one of the Channel 9 studios after the usual midday show end-of-the-week party, when what should I find down behind the drum kit but an unconscious Jeff Harvey? Well, being something of a sticky beak, I decided to have a quick fossick round in his beard. Here's what I found. 3 warm stubbies, family of starlings, and $28 in loose change. Oh, and an incriminating photo of Laurie Oakes at one of Jeff's notorious pantsless barbecues on the roof of the studio. But don't worry, I destroyed that for everyone's sake.
Oh, good on you, Pete.
He gets around, doesn't he?
Doesn't he?
He really comes to life when we're doing sticky beaks. And what about the prize? It hasn't changed. It's the Crowded House CD back catalogue.
Beauty.
Which, as we've mentioned before, even Paul Hester doesn't have.
No.
I've been round to the Hester shed. I've given it an inspection. You have to wear the hard hat. I've been in there. And you know when you go to somebody who's had a few CDs out's place?
Yeah.
You know, I always can't resist just popping over and seeing what they've got in the CD, seeing how many copies they've got of their own stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't find a single Crowdie's release or even an Enns release around at Paul's.
Mm.
Just all Tijuana brass. That's all he's got going around in the shed. He's got the full Alpert collection.
All right.
But you're getting that. And, of course, you're always in the running. No matter what you do on Sticky Beaks, you're always in the chance. You're in with a chance to visit Germany.
Mm.
That's right, the real Germany, the proper Germany. You'll be staying in a castle there. There for 7 days. I think we're drawing it this time next week.
And the good news is, Tone, I think that castle was once owned by Michael Hutchins.
Oh, really?
So there could be a couple of little treats just lying around.
You never know what you're going to find in the way of snaps.
That'd be a good competition. Could we win a night at Michael Hutchins' house?
Oh, look,
that'd be all you need.
I'm sure once Forensic have finished with it, we'll be able to get the station promotions people in to measure up the joint and see if it's worth casting it out. A surprise on Seabeaks, but no, it's a castle in Germany. It's the full Crowded House CD back catalogue, and of course, the 1 millionth copy of Recurring Dream. You're in the running for that, so call us now and be beaked on 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
What? You're listening to Martin Malloy, where, well, it's time to poke about in somebody else's affairs. It's Sticky Beaks. Who have we got on the line to play Beaks today, Mickey?
Well, it's Michael. How are you, Michael?
Good, thanks, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Where are you calling from, Michael?
Brisbane.
Brisbane, what's happening up there? Anything we should know about?
Oh, not a lot. I think Bob Baldridge has got a problem with CJC and temperatures on the way up.
Right,
okay.
I see.
Now all you need to do is the weather, and you've discharged all your duties. What do you do for a living, Michael?
I'm a physiotherapist.
Oh, have you had a look at Plugger's groin?
I beg your pardon?
Sorry, that was a personal question, obviously.
And are people comfortable with Mr. Borbich in the big chair, do you feel, Michael?
I wouldn't have a clue, actually. I'm not that interested in what they're doing with themselves.
Right. What about our good friend Frank Tanti? How's he acquitting himself these days?
I think he's keeping his head down.
Yeah.
Come on, Michael, you're supposed to be a beak. You're supposed to have all this information on tap.
No, I think
you don't seem interested, son.
That's the Tanti style. He's a coiled spring. He could go off at any moment.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Michael. Taking you on today, we've got Dale. Dale, are you there?
Yes.
Where are you calling us from?
From Sydney.
Right, and what do you do for a living?
I'm a nanny.
Oh, you like the nanny on TV?
Yeah, of course.
Do you sing that song as you're driving to work?
Yeah, of course. And I dress like her too.
All right. And do you do a nanny impression just out of interest?
No, I can't.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty hard.
It wouldn't help either on this segment, I'm afraid. Let's get the beaking underway. Kick things off, Mickey.
All right, Dale. The celebrity Michael would least like to get a lift home with is A, Kelsey Grammer, a.k.a. Frasier, B, Medivac's Nicholas Eady, C, Dougie the Pizza Boy.
B.
No, it's Dougie, the pizza boy.
Oh, gee, and it's quite a field of offendees or offenders. Okay, now, because that could have gone either way, I think it's only fair we ask the same question to Michael. Are you ready, Michael?
Yep.
The celebrity Dale would least like to get a lift home with is A, Bobby Brown, B, Jeremy Irons, or C, Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee?
C.
Oh, no, she's not looking forward to a drive with Bobby Brown, obviously seeing the photographic evidence in the magazines, you know, because you never know when he's going to climb up onto the roof and start dancing.
Exactly.
And you don't want to be in a car with Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. They've got other things on their mind at 100 miles an hour. All right, so it's equal. Let's see if we can break it, Mickey.
All right, Dale, this weekend Michael will be A, watching one or both of the grand finals, B, avoiding football, C, popping back to Michael Hutchins' place to retrieve that opium he left there.
B.
B, he will be avoiding football completely.
Gee, and you don't like the football, Michael? Is that because you just see too many of the results of football in your rooms?
Yeah, basically you do. You see a hell of a lot of it throughout the year, and basically just about fed up with it. I mean, the furor with the league this year.
Oh, well, there's the downside of footy fever. There it is. This man has been inoculated against footy fever.
Well done.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Same question for you. This weekend, Dale will be A, out to dinner and a party, P, or B. We don't get to P on this segment.
When did P get a run?
I'll just change the letters around. I'll start again. This weekend, Dale will be A, out to dinner and a party, B, popping round to visit the Rellos, C, secretly married to Lucky Grills.
Hey.
Yes! Out to dinner and a party. Will it be a nanny's party, Dale?
Yeah, I hope not.
Lots of nannies just getting together and running around like kids?
Oh, I don't want to talk about children when I go out, thank you.
Gee, fair enough.
Leaves her work back at the shop. All right, Dale, it's boot at home. Michael, A, has a moustache, B, doesn't have a moustache, C, does, but it's one of those half-ass squiggly Bob Geldof jobs.
A.
Yes, he does, he has a moustache!
Gee, and what sort of moustache is it, Michael? Is it a boonie?
No, it's just sort of forming.
Oh, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, good luck to you. And here's a final question for you, Michael. Dale's favourite fashion accessory is A, jewellery, B, shoes, C, free with every Hungry Jack's meal deal.
B.
Shoes, yes, indeed. She's on for a bit of footwear.
Uh-oh. It's tiebreaker time!
Yes, it's the part of the segment where the wheels may fall off. It's tiebreaker time, people. The scores are locked at 2-2. Here's how it works. We've got a question about, well, it's about Mick today. And whoever comes in with the A, B or C first wins when I've completed the question. Are you ready, Beaks?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Mick Molloy once appeared in a musical stage production as A, Mac the Knife, B, a pirate in the Pirates of Penzance, C, Joseph and his coat of many colours. And his coat of many colours. Which one?
I said B.
No.
C.
No.
A.
Oh, gee, that was close.
It was Dale.
Yes,
it was Dale.
It was Dale by a nose, and I was confused. Did somebody say P?
It would have got you the prize.
Gee, Justin, both went for the Pirates and the Pirates of Penzance, but no, Mickey, you were in fact Mac the Knife. What's going on? When was that?
Oh, well, it was Mac the Knife, and it was an adaption we wrote of the Beggar's Opera.
Yeah.
Except we took out all their music and put in Beatles songs.
Oh, good on you.
No. There's nothing more exciting in the world than the sight of me sitting on the end of a bed in a white suit singing Michelle, you know, the Beatles song Michelle, to a fifth form girl dressed up as a street hooker.
Gee, well, that's an exciting production. I hope there's some video of that somewhere. And, of course, you weren't in Joseph. But didn't you do that musical Joseph in his underpants of many colours?
Yes, I did.
I see.
I'm still wearing them.
Much acclaimed. All right, well, guess what? Firstly, for you, Michael, we've got a Martin Molloy fashion accessory.
Beautiful.
Oh, it is. Wait till you see it. You'll be the envy of the physiotherapy world. And as for you, Dale, you've got the Crowded House back catalogue.
Great.
And you've gone into the draw for the big trip to Germany.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, well, you'll be listening this time next week when hopefully Pete Smith will be reaching into the Beasley. All right, thanks for taking part, Beaks. We'll be back with another week of Sticky Beaks from Monday on Martin Malloy.
Thank you, sir, but please don't shove your big nose in my business. Your big nose in my business. That nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know. Dig that nose.
Forgotten. That's those Cores, Forgiven, Not Forgotten, at Martin Malloy. Hi, I'm Totty Martin, and welcome to Hot, Naked, Lubed Up, Panting and Well-Nigh Begging For It, the raunchy new sex program that takes an informative and educational look at relationships in the 90s. Yeah, right. Anyway, first up, pornographic films. Sales of X-rated videos have shot through the roof in the last few years. Videos like this. And this. And this. But it's not just about titillation. Many couples use these videos for, oh, there's some kind of relationships medical reason. Well, more of a psychological. Oh, look, we've seen the clips. Can we move on? Another recent phenomenon is the growth and popularity of table dancing clubs like this one. An enormous number of Australian men and women are allowing their partners to visit these clubs so that, oh, there is some kind of socio-psychological reason, isn't it? I'm sure the research has said something about it. I couldn't write it down. Well, can't we just move on? What? More tips coming up. Okay, I'll just filter till we get to them. Yes, statistics show this seemingly unsavoury spectacle is actually proving beneficial to many... Hey, check them out! But what about penises, I hear you say? Well, here's some now. Well, there they were. Have we got some sort of medical excuse for... make something up? Oh, OK. And I hope that's answered all your questions, your serious medical questions about penises. Anyway, moving on to breasts. Yes, it seems many couples are using breasts to improve their relationships in the 90s. And for other sort of medical reasons as well. We'll be back after this break with several educational and informative shots of great big enormous thrusting hooters that we got off a doctor, a real one. Until then, I'm Totty Martin and I'm about to get the gears off for Black and White. Everlasting love, that's you two bringing proceedings to a close for another week here at Martin Malloy.
And good, because I need a lie down.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Don't worry, there'll be some serious editing work on the black box recording today, Mickey.
One would hope so.
Nobody need ever know what's going on today.
Will you come to the station manager's office with me, Tone?
Oh, certainly.
Please.
I'll bring a copy of Bob Carr's novel with me, and I think you'll find a use for it round the back. Now, if you've got nothing better to do over the weekend, why not visit Martin Malloy Land on the big worldwide internet? Now, if you've got access to the equipment, it's great. If you don't, it sucks. So just think of it that way, because I know a lot of people can't get down to the internet. They haven't got the right coins. So, you know, they're not getting there. But it does get updated every week. We haven't done a lot of work on the site lately because, you know, there's only two of us and we've been working on the album a lot lately. So once that's put to bed, we're going to get in there and do a bit of kicking around, bit of cleaning out.
Give it a cuddle.
Bit of construction work on the site. I'm keen to get started on the ambitious Martin Malloy defective search engine. You know, they have these search engines, so you can find... So I want to get one that just doesn't work at all.
It just sends you off in a different direction.
That's what I'm working on with the boffins behind the net site at the moment. That'll get up and running soon. And do we have an address for the site, Gracie?
http://martinmalloy.village.com.au
Hours of fun for the whole family.
Gracie doing a good Pete Smith impersonation there too, I thought. Well done.
Yes, I think I need a lie down as well. And, yeah, and it's not a profiteering thing for us, by the way. I have to point that out.
Yep.
People keep saying, oh, geez, you must be making a mint on that net site. It's just something for people who can't get enough of two blokes crapping on. And let's wind up the week, as we always do, by packing full the comedy incinerator, where we take all the feeble stuff we couldn't fit in anywhere else, and we get it out of our systems once and for all. Start the clock, Gracie, and listen to this, Mick. A notorious and flamboyant European stripper who calls herself Lola Ferrari has been told she can no longer use the name, as her performances are causing considerable embarrassment to the Ferrari car company. No word yet if the lawyers from Holden have contacted Frankie J.
There were dramatic scenes on the steps of the Supreme Court this week as Sydney Swan star Andrew Dunkley appeared to appeal the AFL's decision to charge him over an incident in last week's game. Dunkley entered court with his jumper pulled over his head but was still clearly identifiable by the number on his back.
Controversy for Hungry Jack's this week, with claims that sunglasses, which come with one of their burger meal deals, may not provide adequate protection against the sun. Another consumer also filed a complaint against McDonald's after one of the tiny crutches which come with the free Muppets Treasure Island Long John Silver figurine collapsed under his weight, sending him tumbling down three flights of stairs. They're dangerous, those crutches.
Oh, no.
Have you tried them?
Oh, they're horrible, Tay.
Steer clear of them.
They're an accident waiting to happen. Detectives launched a raid on the home of Michael Hutchence and Paula Yates, retrieving a quantity of drugs believed to be opium and photographs of the couple having sex. Detectives also launched a raid on the home of former pop idol William Shakespeare, but all they found was a club lock, two sheepskin car seat covers, and a couple of photos of the entire house running a red light.
And earlier this... And just a reminder, if you spot him on the side of the road... As we always say, slip a fiver under the wiper blade. Do the right thing by Bill. Earlier this week, we brought you the story of the British designer who spent 6 years creating a quick and convenient condom applicator. There was some disappointment today, however, when the revolutionary device turned out to be just one of those keys you get with a tin of sardines.
Oh, I was expecting so much more. But no, the topaz, that's all it was in the end. So time for us to go, I think.
And we must thank our guests, Chris Isaac, Kenny Dale Johnson, all our beaks and gladiators. As always, a big end of week salute to our producer, Gracie.
Gracie.
Our assistant, Emma.
Emma.
Making those sketches, it's Vicky.
On you, Vic.
All the button pushers, eggheads and roadies right around the network grid.
You know who you are.
And, of course, the big man in the glass booth, one Pete Smith.
Pretty boy.
And don't forget, we'll be back on Monday with a show live from the 1996 ARIA Awards. And just before we go, we were talking about this earlier. Good luck to everybody involved in footy, everyone supporting footy, whatever your respective code over the weekend. And with regards to the AFL, Sydney Swans, you know the drill tonight. No monkey business. But of course, if they do win tomorrow, Mick, this is the song they'll be singing.
Cheer, the red and the white. We'll be doing the bizzo tonight. Pluggers Royd is fighting fit. Watching use it now to play the banjo bit.
Nicely done, Plugger. Hands free, give him a round.
Lift that noble lunchbox high. Shake down the shorts and watch the tackle fly.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free. Pete Smith speaking.